A reading from the Gospel of Mark. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." May God bless this reading to our hearing and understanding.
Well, good morning, y'all. Good morning. I just want to say thank y'all so much for having me here. So this is my first day preaching. Am I supposed to be here or there? I'll hang out here if that's okay. Or, you know, I'll take a step up if there's a step up available. I often... No, y'all are gonna have to forgive me. I'm doing the best I can, but I'm new. Anyway, hey, I'm Vivian Taylor. I've had the chance to meet a number of y'all already. Folks have been so kind in welcoming me to Los Angeles and to Hollywood. Just let me say, I'm happy to meet y'all. I always love going out and grabbing a bite of dinner or a cup of coffee or something. I love getting the chance to talk to people and hear people's stories. So don't be shy. Come and see me if you want to come see me. All right. Let's try out this sermon thing and see how it goes, huh? All right, and I'll tell y'all, I've preached a bunch of times in the past, but I've never actually done one with PowerPoint before, so this is a new thing for me too, so I am grateful for all of you for going on this adventure with me. All right, let's get the first one. So I am from North Carolina. There's gonna be some introduction, and then I'm gonna talk about the Bible. Oh, is there somebody else from North Carolina out there? Woo, good to hear. So if you look at this map, this is actually a map from I think the Environmental Management Fund. But if you look right there, I am from the border between the orange and the green towards the top, if that makes sense. If you want to go to the next slide. All right, this is a population density map of North Carolina. I know it looks a little bit like a piece of toast that's gone moldy, but no, those are the big population centers. If you can see, it kind of makes an upside down U. I am from right there in the middle of the U where you don't have a lot of people living. All right, next slide, please. All right. This is where I'm from. This is Stanley County, North Carolina. That big body of water there is the Yadkin River. I grew up not in this picture, but if you go a couple of miles up the river and then about like a mile, mile and a half inland from the river in the woods, that's where I grew up. My ancestor, Kenshin Pennington, served in the American Revolution, and he was paid for his service with a piece of land there in Stanley County, North Carolina. And I actually grew up on a chunk of that same land that my ancestor got. So we've been there in Stanley County as long as there's been a North Carolina. This picture is also interesting. You can see the big industrial complex right in the middle. That's a big aluminum smelter owned by Alcoa, the aluminum giant. When I was a teenager, my father was an attorney, and he was doing work around environmental issues that had come out of aluminum smelting and things being dumped in the river and the woods and that sort of thing. So I grew up thinking a lot about justice. I grew up thinking about how things affected poor people, how things affected people of color. You can also see in this photo of Stanley County how there's one group of houses on one side of the aluminum smelter and one group of houses on the other side of the aluminum smelter. That was in Baden, North Carolina, the white part of town and the black part of town. It was a deeply segregated place. And it's something where people are still to this day working to overcome it. So I grew up in a place where there was injustice to be seen if you wanted to pay attention to it. It was, you know, it's right there as clear as that photograph. And as a North Carolinian, I'm aware that there are terrible things in our history. And there are terrible things in history everywhere, but I'm a big believer in knowing your history and engaging with your history and trying to live up beyond it. All right, if you want to go to the next slide, please. So when I turned 18 years old, I enlisted in the U.S. Army. I was what at the time was called a chaplain's assistant, what is now called a religious affairs specialist. They're fancying up the names all the time. I was in the Army for about 7 years. Being a chaplain's assistant was a very interesting job. On one hand, you sort of do peer counseling with the soldiers in the unit. You look after them when they're dealing with divorce or drug addiction or suicidal ideation or any of the hard things that come from being, you know, a soldier in a war. It has serious emotional and other kinds of consequences on people. But on the other hand, chaplains are non-combatants, can't touch a weapon for any reason according to Geneva Accord, but the chaplain's assistant is a combatant. So it was my job to be sort of the armed bodyguard for the chaplain, who was an officer. When we were in Iraq, my unit was spread out over a number of different bases. So it was my job to safely move around this Southern Baptist chaplain from base to base, keeping everybody safe. So in that, I learned both a lot about doing ministry with folks from all different walks of life, and then, you know, I also got to see the war in Iraq. I took part in it. And it took me a long time of growing to really come to understand the level of the tragedy that the war in Iraq was. More than a million civilians, innocent people killed. Absolutely monstrous. So that's also, you know, that's a weight I carry. That's something I think about a lot. And it's driven me to become a pacifist and believe that we need to work for peace between all people, and peace without justice isn't peace at all. So we got to have justice. We got to have enough for folks. All right, next slide, please. So after I got out of the Army, I went into the Episcopal Church. I eventually became the executive director of the Episcopal Church's international LGBT rights organization. I'm a transgender woman. I worked a lot with the Episcopal Church to try to get them to move forward on being willing to protect transgender people, ordain transgender people, make sure that transgender people have access to baptism, Eucharist, you know, the basic stuff. I also worked with the Reconciling Methodist folks. I worked with all the other big Protestant organizations worked with congregations across the country, helping them to have those conversations necessary to take the turn on LGBT issues, to take the turn on becoming inclusive places. It was an interesting process. I cared deeply about this work, and it gave me the opportunity while I was doing that. I also worked with the Obama administration to lift the ban on transgender people in the military. Yeah. Y'all don't have to clap. So I like doing policy work. I left my job in the Episcopal Church in 2015, and I moved back to North Carolina. I got there just in time to, you know, get back in contact with my friends and family and the institutions there. And then a couple months later, North Carolina's famous bathroom bill hits. If you want to change the slide. And that, unfortunately, was the argument for the bathroom bill right there. I was there the day it passed, brought a group of trans people to the state legislature, was leading prayers, doing all that sort of thing. And since this bill, since we got it pushed back, I've continued doing research and on looking at how the world has changed, how people have been treated, what have the outcomes been in since this. What is the post-bathroom bill North Carolina political situation like? And it turns out being a preacher always helps me in those situations because no one wants to hear it. And if you remind them that Jesus says they have to pay attention to injustice, then you can move them a little. All right, so next slide. All right, let's actually talk a little bit about the gospel today. I hope I haven't spent too much time introducing myself. I promise I'm not the most interesting thing in this sermon. Let's talk about Jesus in the grain field. This is one of my favorite gospel stories because it's right there at the beginning of the gospel. It turns up in all three of the synoptic gospels, in Mark, Matthew, and Luke. And it shows from the very, very beginning this absolutely fascinating attitude that Jesus Christ has toward the law. Because if you read the gospel, you'll notice that Jesus is very clear that he is not turning up to get rid of the law. He's not there to be opposed to the law. And yet, we have a situation like this in this grain field where Jesus and his disciples are going through. You can go to the next slide. They're looking at this ripe grain that's just heavy on the stalk. And it's that they're hungry. That's one thing we see a lot of the disciples going around are often looking for food. They're picking these grains, and then out of nowhere, the Pharisees pop out to say, oh, what are you doing breaking the Sabbath law? And let's just take a second. Let's take a second and be very careful about how we speak about the Pharisees. I know I'm a Christian, y'all are Christians. We've all heard people use the Pharisees as the big antagonists, as the bad guys of the gospel. And just let me say, that is not always entirely fair. We shouldn't look at the Pharisees as, you know, an outside force oppressing Jesus and the disciples. These are all folks from the same religious communities. This is an insider discussion that they're having. And it's a serious one. It's a one of understanding, you know, if these laws are just, then is breaking them unjust. And if you have a religious leader who is leading people to break the law of God, the next slide, please, the rules, as it were, then that's a problem. So as Christians, what do we do with this? What do we do with the question of the law? And I think what we have is we have Jesus saying something very interesting about love, about taking care of people. Let's go to the next slide. So, way back when, in the time of Moses who put down the law after going up the mountain and getting it from God, that in that original law, it said that women were not allowed to inherit property, 100%. There was a dude named Zelophehad, who was out there in the desert with Moses and Aaron and all them. He had five daughters, but before any of the five daughters could get married, boom, he dies. Dies in his own sin, the Bible says. And these five daughters, under the law of God, are going to be left totally destitute. As the daughters of Zelophehad, it's in the book of Numbers. You can check it out yourself. They go to Moses and they say, hey, this is unfair. And does Moses say, oh, throw them out. Oh, don't listen to them. Oh, the law's the law and that's how it is. Absolutely not. Moses prays about it. And God says, hey, you know, these women are right. You need to change the law so that they can inherit property and they won't be totally destitute. It's in the Bible. Look at it. You can look at, now let's go to the next slide. You can look at a story like Ruth, which also importantly ties in today's gospel reading because of the grain field and about the law. Because in the original law of Moses, it said that not only were Edomite women, and Ruth was an Edomite woman, a tribe next door to the Israelites, says the Edomite women are 100% banned from the temple community. And not only that, their descendants, if they marry Jewish men, are supposed to be banned from the temple community for 10 generations. But you know who Ruth's great-grandson or great-great-grandson, according to the book of Ruth, was? Anybody? King David. So you look at it, under the law of God, under the law of Moses, King David himself would not have been allowed in the temple. And now we look, let's go on to the next one. I mean, King David, yeah, David and Goliath, that sort of central figure within Jewish and Christian history. But even then, so it's not just that David went in, and let's go to the next slide. It's not just that David went in to eat this showbread, which once again in the law of God was a specific kind of bread that was made by the priests and put by the altar and could only be consumed by the priests at the end of the week. Very specific, very explicitly serious ritual that had to be followed. And yet, old King David, when he and his men were hungry, he went into the temple and he grabbed the showbread and ate some and distributed it to his men. When people were hungry, when people were suffering, the law was not the most important thing. And you see it in all of these Bible stories, and you see it again in the gospel that we're looking at this morning. When it comes down to it, we have all of this tradition, we have all of these rules, we have all of these ideas and these stories. But one of the things that Jesus recognized is that all this tradition, all this theology, whatever you want to say it, it never gives us the right to hurt another person. It never gives us the right to put rules on someone that is going to keep them hungry, that is going to keep them oppressed, that is going to keep them in the way of harm. And Jesus is continuing to ask. Let's move on to the next slide, please. And Jesus continues talking to the Pharisees, continues talking to these other teachers. He says, you know, is it proper to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? Are these religious things that we're given, are these rules, are these rituals, are these beliefs that we have to live within, are these for the sake of benefiting people, or are these for the sake of harming people, Jesus asks. And when Jesus sees that folks are still their hearts are too hard, they're too invested in the rules being the rules and that being it, they'll leave people in a bad situation. You have this fellow at the synagogue who's, it says his hands are withered. I don't quite know what that means, but let's be honest, anything medically to do with your hands is very, very complicated. I had army buddies who had terrible hand injuries, and it takes a lot to recover from. And Jesus is in this moment. He is able to break these boundaries and bring this person healing. and give this person back the ability to have a livelihood, the ability to have a good life. Jesus does a miracle where it's not just the healing, but it's the healing in spite of the law, through the law, however you want to say it. It's a really incredible story. And it shows Jesus' constant love and desire to bring people in, to make people okay, to have a system that actually takes care of everyone. And I'm sure that there are a lot of people in this room right now who can think of times that there have been rules put against you in some way, or people you love, or people you know. Whether these are rules about immigration, whether these are rules about LGBT stuff, whether these are rules about class and money, we live with them every day. We can see them all throughout our lives in the world. And I just want you to know that Jesus is calling you in your own life today to be willing to break those rules for this, if those rules are hurting people. God is calling you to more than obedience. God is calling you to love your neighbor. That's what I got for you this morning. Thank y'all again for y'all's welcome. God bless you this week.